This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work Policy and Practice at the University of Chicago. The master's program in social work, social policy, and social administration prepares professionals to address today's most pressing challenges and offers flexible options with part-time and evening classes to support busy adults balancing complex schedules. Inspire change, shape the future at crownschool.uchicago.edu/social work. WBEZ's nonprofit spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org.
I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. Over the decades, 15 to 19 South Wabash has been known by many names. The S.A. Maxwell Coast Store, the Jewelers Building, and the Yvonne Reese Building. Those names allude to a long history for a building created by architects whose names are synonymous with Chicago architecture, Dankmar Adler and Louis Sullivan. This week on the podcast, we're featuring a few episodes of our series, What's That Building?, where we share stories of architecture from in and around Chicago. Today, we'll peel back the layers of this downtown marvel. And to do that, we've got to talk to our architecture sleuth, Dennis Rodkin. So, Dennis, this story actually came at the suggestion of a listener. So tell us a bit about them and how they became interested in the history of the building.
It did. A listener named Patrick Murphy, he is a former professor at DePaul here in Chicago, now a professor at the University of Alabama at Birmingham. But he knows this building because, as you mentioned, Yvonne Reese is in there. That's a tobacco store. We're going to talk about it. Oldest business in Chicago. He used to go in there with colleagues to, as he said, talk and smoke every few months. And now he's in Alabama. We talk often on Twitter about other topics. And he suggested we go in and find out about this building. And I'm so glad because there was so much to find out.
Oh my gosh, I can imagine. So I mentioned this place is downtown, Dennis, but do me a favor, as always, situate us. Where is this building in the loop and what does it look like from the street?
Okay. It's on Wabash, just south of Madison, 1519, as we said. It's below the L tracks, so, you know, when you're standing there, you get the noise of the old elevated, and it takes you back because the facade there is, we'll talk about how much of it is recreated, but it's from 1881. What you're looking at is a wonderful sort of take on a Victorian storefront. You have carved stone, metal pillars, brick, glass, a really beautiful storefront, very ornate. The flowers, especially flowers and the fiddleheads of ferns carved into the metal columns really look like something other than, you know, a 7-Eleven that you're looking at today.
Right, right. Yeah, the detail is really clear here in some of the photos that are in your piece on WBEZ.org. You start that article off with one of the oldest operators of the building, Yvonne Reese. Tobacco.
It's not a taco shop, sorry.
Can you tell what's on my mind right now? What is the history there?
It's a tobacco shop, which is close to what you said. So this is a fascinating business. They have been around since 1857. A German immigrant named Emil Hoffman opened a pipe and tobacco store in Chicago in 1857. It has been run by his family ever since. It was passed to his nephew, Yvonne Reese. And now it's in the hands of the fourth and fifth generations, Chuck and Kevin Levy. This is not where they've been the whole time. Their original store, I believe, is where the Thompson Center is now.
Okay.
Burned down in the Chicago fire, several locations over time, and then moved in here in 1967 when the building was about 80 years old.
Oh, okay. So Reese, Yvonne Reese didn't move into this Wabash building until the late 60s, but it's far older than that.
The building dates to 1882, and it might date back even farther. This is fascinating. I had no idea. Kevin Levy helped me try to prove this. When you look at the front of the building, there is one historical plaque, not the official city historical plaque, but one placed by Yvonne Reese on an anniversary of the building. that says that though built in 1882, it sits on a foundation from before the fire. I was a little skeptical. That doesn't show up in a lot of the other historical articles about the building. But Kevin took me to the basement, and I'm kind of a believer now.
Really? What changed for you?
It's fascinating. You go down to the basement, which, of course, would not have been damaged. It would have been just filled with rubble from the fire. And you see a limestone foundation that looks like, if you go to a place like Galena, older cities in Wisconsin, you sometimes see these foundations. It's limestone, but it's lots of different sizes of limestone. Uh-huh. So it wasn't precision cut. It wasn't everything is made to uniform sizes. So it's plausible, not confirmed, but plausible that the foundation of this building actually dates to before the 1871 fire.
Wow.
And then the building itself above the foundation is from 1882.
Which would make it a lot older. Now, Adler and Sullivan, those are names that practically every Chicagoan has heard of before. Maybe they've seen it around the city. What elements of the building would you say clearly give away that it was built by these architects?
Well, I think if you look at those carvings I was talking about, in the stone you see these big perky flowers with long stems that run down the stone. In the cast iron pillar columns, there are these fiddleheads of ferns. Those also appear inside. If people who are used to the former Carson's store, now a Target, and other buildings from Lewis Sullivan, you recognize that sort of floral, natural, swirling style that he used to infuse a building with sort of a natural feeling. This is the oldest building in Chicago where you can see that. This is actually... this was designed when Sullivan was 26 years old.
Oh, my goodness. So, as you mentioned, you got to explore inside this great building. Give us more highlights.
Oh, it's amazing. There are, when you walk into the lobby, there are stained glass windows hanging sort of above the elevator lobby. Those were just in the last few years discovered behind some drywall. Chuck Levy, one of the Ewan Reese family members, told the new owners of the building, you might find some stained glass in there. And they did.
Oh, really?
Hidden by drywall. The building was undergoing historic restoration with some historic tax credit funding, so you have to protect those materials. So all those windows were restored and are hanging there in the lobby. There's a tile floor. The first floor, the retail space, is vacant now. The tile floor, many people believe, is the original tile floor. I don't have proof of that, but that tile may date to 1882.
I need you to find that out.
I tried so hard, Sasha. I knew you would drill me on that one. And then you go up to the second floor. Ewan Reese used to be the owner of the building, and they were on the first floor.
Right.
Later, they moved to the second floor, and they took over. Now we get to much more modern finishes. There used to be a place on the second floor called the Millionaires Club. And I found old articles about entertainers appearing there and religious speakers. But you can just imagine the Millionaires Club in the 70s, very dark wood.
Yes, that's what I picture when I think of a cigar lounge.
Yeah.
Right? Leather sofas even.
Leather, wood, leather, a fireplace.
So that was the vibe with Ewan Reese?
That's the vibe. In the lounge, which is on the street front of the building. But then you go back to their store, which is also on the second floor, and that's filled with pipes and old tobacco advertisements. It really feels as if you're going to your father or grandfather's tobacco store in the 50s. It's an amazing place. I'm not a smoker, but the historical relics are fascinating. So I think a lot of people now go to the cigar store, get pipe cigars, tobacco, go into the lounge, and travel back in time.
Isn't that cool, though? I mean, you're doing this all the time with these buildings, traveling back in time. And I feel like you're learning so much as you're going out on these different escapades, if you will, right? Because you go in with a certain idea. Here you're finding out, oh, this is older than the great Chicago fire.
You know, that's what makes this so much fun, is it really is a voyage of discovery for me. I had no idea. First of all, a listener suggested this, and I thought, oh, yeah, I guess I've walked past that one. And then the deeper you go, both literally down to the basement and into the layers of the historical write-ups, the more you find this building has so many Chicago names attached to it. One we didn't even mention is Martin Ryerson, the man who built the building, had Adler and Sullivan design it. He was a lumber baron from Michigan who moves to Chicago when he gets rich and invests in all kinds of real estate downtown, especially right after the fire. So he's one of the rebuilders, not related, I found, to Ryerson Steel, or not directly related. But so many names have passed through or have been attached to that one site. So, yeah, the answer to your question is I love doing this.
It's changed hands quite a few times in at least the last 10 years, for sure. So so we're clear. Who are the current owners and what are their plans, future plans for it?
So the Levy's, the operators of the tobacco store, sold it in the early 2000s. It sold again a few years ago to a pair of development firms. The one I spoke to is Honore Properties. So it's sort of this three-part. Two developers own it, and they bought it to rehab for Sonder, which is a San Francisco firm that operates short-term rentals. So this is a five-story building, first floor empty, second floor tobacco, third through fifth are short-term rental spaces.
Oh, okay.
Fully rehabbed. And it's really interesting because Mike Shinoda, the head of Honore Properties, who talked to me about this, said, we did not know what we were getting into. I mean, you talk about me going into it. For me, it was just exploration. For them, it was laying out cash left and right because they had no idea. There are, for example, they recreated those stone carvings on the front, all that stone on the front, which is beautiful and shows up in the pictures really well.
Yes.
That had been covered by marble. The stained glass that they found inside the drywall, it appears from what he said that they have spent about twice on rehab. I'm sorry, they've spent the same amount on rehab as they spent to buy the building. Hmm. So their investment is double.
Far more than they originally anticipated, for sure. That's Dennis Rodkin, residential real estate reporter for Crane Chicago Business. See you next time.
Bye.
This episode of Reset was produced by Andrew Merriweather, who edited the episode along with Stephanie Kim. That'll do it for Reset. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. We'll talk to you tomorrow.